Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of the podcast is presented exclusively by Hillsdale College. Now, in its 175th year, Hillsdale is a truly independent institution where learning is prized and intellectual enthusiasm is valued. Thank you for listening and my sincere appreciation to Hillsdale for their sponsorship.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Levin, our number is 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. You know, I watch the news barely because I like to digest my food. And it amazes me, you know, when the Republicans have 53 senators and the Democrats have 45 plus two additional nut jobs, this guy Angus King, and then Bernie Sanders. Basically, with 47 members, they're able to run circles around the Republicans in the Senate. Pretty much. Can stop virtually anything they want to do. Yet here it is, 50-50. And the Republicans go begging over the filibuster. There are things the Republicans can do. I'm not a parliamentary expert. But force Kamala Harris to spend the rest of her vice presidential career sitting in the U.S. Senate as president of the Senate and breaking tie votes all the time. Force her to do it. Don't agree to any arrangement on 50-50. If Schumer doesn't want to budge on the filibuster, that's the nuclear weapon, then don't give him anything. Nothing. Zero. They're already rubber stamping one nominee after another for Biden. They didn't do that for Trump. The Republicans have parliamentary tools, but they won't use them because they're cowards. The Senate leadership, full of cowards. Oh, they're very strong when they're going after the ex-president. Very strong when they're going after the Tea Party. Very strong when they're going after Trump supporters and conservatives. Oh, yeah, yeah. Very strong on that. But when it comes to challenging Schumer and his thugs, not so much. Not too smart. It's time for new Republican leadership in the United States Senate. It's that simple. Now, as for this trial that's going to take place, anybody who thinks a trial is constitutional against a private citizen really is a moron. I don't care if they walk around with Federalist Society paper hats. I don't care if they walk around with NR emblazoned on their shirts. Moronic in every respect. And dangerous. Dangerous, because now if the purpose of impeachment and trial is to prevent somebody who's now in the private sector from ever running for office again, that's a completely different tool now, the impeachment tool. Completely different than what was intended. So if they have a trial, and it looks like McConnell's going to agree to a trial, and even if the president of the United States is not convicted, and he won't be, the precedent has now been set. that you can chase down ex-presidents, ex-vice presidents, ex-officials of the federal government, subject to the impeachment clause of the Constitution, and go after them after the fact, while they're in the private sector, to make sure they can never serve in government again. This is why we know that's not what the framers and the ratifiers intended, because you have a few hiccups where this occurred in the past, but never like this, ever, never. And the president sits there, Biden. I'm no longer a member of the Senate. Oh, okay, thanks, pal. The ex-president of the United States, despite the constant lies, or to quote Biden, the big Goebbels-like lies against the ex-president of the United States, he did not incite an insurrection, as I said the other day. He's the commander-in-chief. If he wanted to have an insurrection, it wouldn't involve a couple of hundred or a thousand nut jobs, ill-prepared to do anything but break into the Capitol building and stand there and take pictures of themselves. It would have looked a lot different than that, wouldn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Because it wasn't an incitement for an insurrection, and there's not a damn thing in his speech. When you read the 50 pages of the 76 pages of their charge against the president, it's preposterous. It reads like a fake Tapper news show, which is a joke. Just appalling. And we're going to keep an eye on this, because any Republican who goes along with this is not only damaging the Constitution, they are creating a precedent that is disastrous. And this idea that you go after an ex-president in the private sector because you don't like the way he talks, or you're a never-Trumper, or your former federal prosecutor doesn't know your ass from a you-know-what, and on and on and on, that is unacceptable. So the 10 Republicans in the House who voted unconstitutionally, without any hearing, without any due process, without any evidence, without any counter evidence, without any witnesses, without anything, who embraced a Stalinist-like process, every damn one of them must be defeated. And I can't believe that they're going to leave Lynn Cheney as the number three Republican leader among the House members. That would be a complete repudiation of every single one of you and our constitutional system. Just because people wave around the Constitution doesn't mean they believe in it. We've seen this from the left and the media constantly. Now, in the United States Senate, we're going to be watching this very, very carefully. Any United States senator who votes to convict private citizen Trump for inciting an insurrection, for God's sakes, we will do everything humanly possible to make sure that should they wish to run again, that they will be defeated. Because they, too, will be doing permanent damage to our constitutional system. Now, I want you to keep in mind who it is that's pushing this agenda. It's Nancy Pelosi, who doesn't care about the Constitution, period. She's a neo-Marxist. That's all she cares about. You can't be a neo-Marxist and a constitutionalist at the same time. And Chuck Schumer, who's a neo-Marxist. Chuck Schumer, if he could, he would rewrite the Bill of Rights. He'd remove freedom of speech. He's actually proposed an amendment to do that in part. He would remove the Second Amendment. You remember he earned his spurs in the House of Representatives and then came to the Senate as the greatest advocate against the Second Amendment. And now they oppose due process of any kind, and they're twisting the impeachment clause into a pretzel. And I don't care if they find some never-Trumper morons among the professoriate, or the utterly useless Federalist Society, or the more and more pathetic National Review, or whatever it is. The Constitution is the Constitution. And that's a fact. Now, when we return, I want to address this Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci is in charge of infectious diseases. This man is on television more than anybody I've ever seen. Ever. I don't know how he does his job, but his job is not anything outside infectious diseases. Heart disease, diabetes, mental health, suicide included. None of this is in his purview. The economy, national security, jobs, the shuttering of small businesses, that's not his responsibility either. So why is it that Biden hands the entire country over to Fauci? Fauci now feels liberated. He wasn't liberated before, ladies. No, now he's liberated. Fauci, who screwed up the AIDS virus, the federal government's response to the AIDS virus, who screwed up the federal government's response to H1N1 with his buddy Joe Biden. Oh, yeah, Fauci, we know all about you. But now, whatever he says goes. Well, what is he saying that goes? What is he saying that's so spectacular and profound and different than what was said before? Nothing. The idiot Biden signs an executive order. Wear face masks on government property. So let's say you want to go to Yellowstone National Park, Mr. Producer, right? Wide open. We have parks with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres. The only thing you see are bears and deer. You're now required to wear a mask because Joe Biden wants to show he means business. And he and his family, within hours, no mask. No mask. There they are at the Lincoln Monument. No mask. And by the way, where is, you know what I noticed, Rich? Where are the coronavirus death charts on TV? Am I the only one who noticed this? Where are the coronavirus death charts on TV? They're always on the monitor, right? Does anybody know how many people died today on the coronavirus? No. Tomorrow? No. Next day? No. Why? And now these deep blue governors are demanding that their economies open. They've reversed course. It's amazing. They've reversed course. Why? Look at the timing. And now there's great pressure to open our public schools, open our public schools, open the economy. No more corona debt charts on TV. This is the crap we, the American people, have to put up with. Like we live in some damn third world banana republic where they spoon feed us their BS and they try to control what happens between our ears. It's unbelievable. Biden has no plans for distribution. He would have screwed up royally the vaccines. We know that. That's his background. And he sits there with that stupid mask on his face in the Oval Office, where he doesn't have to wear it, actually, because people are more than 6 feet from him, signing whatever's put under his schnoz. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I know you love freedom. How do I know that? Because you listen to my show. And my show and everything I do is all about preserving freedom and the form of government that secures it for us. It's the same with Hillsdale College, one of the very best truly liberal arts colleges in the nation. That's why I talk about them all the time, because Hillsdale is committed to pursuing truth and defending liberty. Hillsdale teaches stellar students to defend freedom, no matter what they major in, whether it's science or music or economics or business, whatever. Hillsdale teaches them how to defend liberty. And they do that for you, too, through their free monthly digest of constitutional thought. It's called Imprimis. 5.6 million Americans receive Imprimis for free each month. And you, my friend and fellow freedom lover, should be reading it, too. You can subscribe for free at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. No strings attached. Generous donors who want to preserve freedom for future generations make it possible for all of us and for Hillsdale to send Imprimis to you for no cost every month. Start receiving and reading Imprimis so you can know how to defend the freedom you love. Visit levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. levinforhillsdale.com. I want to circle back momentarily. It appears, according to Politico, that the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, wants no further part of overseeing a politically charged impeachment. It would be very wise to duck this one. Very, very wise. because in the end, he may in part have to be among the justices that rule on the constitutionality of such a thing down the road. So there, Mr. Chief Justice, I just gave you a reason to recuse yourself from any impeachment trial. Again, your argument is I might be called upon with the rest of the court to make a decision based on the constitutionality of what is taking place here. So that's your off-ramp. Take it and take it fast with your Maserati. Be done. Number two, so who would sit in the chair? Who would sit in the chair that's vacated by the Chief Justice of the United States? Well, of course, the fools out there, meaning the media and the Democrats and some of the never-Trumper Republicans are arguing that would be Kamala Harris. Because the vice president or some other official who handles Senate business, they are permitted, in fact, to handle impeachments, to oversee, to preside over, I should say, impeachments for lesser officers than the president and the vice president. And so the way the argument is going, so that would be Kamala Harris, right, Mr. Producer? No. The only reason that Donald Trump is impeached in the first instance is because he was president of the United States. If the Democrats and the never-Trumpers and McConnell want to keep pursuing this, the matter moves to the Senate. He's now a private citizen, so you might argue, well, that's Kamala Harris. He's not president anymore. Excuse me. You claim to impeach him, and your impeachment document, as pathetic as it is saying that the president of the United States incited an insurrection. Stick with me, America. You don't get to change horses in the middle of the stream here. You don't get to change arguments and flip-flop. He was president of the United States. Now, either the Chief Justice of the United States presides over the impeachment trial in the Senate, of which there should be none, or nobody's qualified to do it. Period. Not even the new vice president of the United States as the president of the Senate. And so here's their problem. Their problem is they violate the Constitution on two grounds. Number one, no, you can't have a Senate trial of a private citizen, whether they were president or not. That's not how the impeachment clause works. You don't get to put a scarlet letter on somebody, jump to the second aspect of this and say you can't ever run or serve in public office again. No. You have to have a trial and a conviction of a sitting official who is subject to the impeachment clause, the president. Well, he's not president anymore. Well, we're going to pursue him anyway. Well, the Chief Justice would have a conflict of interest, obviously, because he may well be called upon to participate with the rest of the members of the court in a challenge to what's taking place. So he can't do both. He can't participate in it and rule on it, adjudicate it. Well, then we'll just call Kamala Harris. No, you won't. Kamala Harris is there to handle trials for lesser officials. Well, Donald Trump's not an official anymore. But he was the president of the United States. We must not allow Schumer and the Democrats. We must not allow the never-Trumpers in the Senate. We must not allow the McConnelloids like hemorrhoids to get away with this and the clowns at the Federalist Society and everywhere else. Stick with me. I know what the hell I'm talking about. I'll be right back. I know you love freedom. How do I know that? Because you listen to my show. And my show and everything I do is all about preserving freedom and the form of government that secures it for us. It's the same with Hillsdale College, one of the very best truly liberal arts colleges in the nation.
That's why I talk about them all the time, because Hillsdale is committed to pursuing truth and defending liberty. Hillsdale teaches stellar students to defend freedom, no matter what they major in, whether it's science or music or economics or business, whatever. Hillsdale teaches them how to defend liberty. And they do that for you, too, through their free monthly digest of constitutional thought. It's called Imprimis. 5.6 million Americans receive Imprimis for free each month. And you, my friend and fellow freedom lover, should be reading it, too. You can subscribe for free at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. No strings attached. Generous donors who want to preserve freedom for future generations make it possible for all of us and for Hillsdale to send Imprimis to you for no cost every month. Start receiving and reading Imprimis so you can know how to defend the freedom you love. Visit levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. levinforhillsdale.com.
Mark Levin, radio's principled patriot. Call in now at 877-381-3811.
This is a cynical effort to prevent Donald Trump from running for president in 2024 if he wishes to. That's why McConnell and the Never Trumpers in the Republican Party and the Senate are all in. That's why Lynn Cheney was all in. They know he didn't incite an insurrection, but they don't care. That's why they have their media buddies regurgitating this, because they're propagandists. And that's why seven Democrats in the Senate have now filed ethics complaints against Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. It's ridiculous. They have the ability to speak on the floor of the Senate and challenge electors or raise the idea of a commission like they had in 1876. They didn't do any violence to the system, but it doesn't matter. They need to have a scarlet letter, too. Why? Because the Democrats want to choose who the Republican nominee will be, and they don't want Trump, Cruz, or Hawley. That's exactly what's going on here. They don't want Trump, Cruz, or Hawley. That's the bottom line. And the Republicans should play no part in this. They should not even agree to a date. And they should make it clear to Joe Biden they will do everything they can to sabotage his agenda. And it ought to be sabotaged. The way they tried to sabotage not just Trump's agenda, but his entire life and presidency. Our guys, such as they are, they don't even fight with mittens on their hands. They fight with like cardboard boxes on their hands. They're so pathetic. Meanwhile, the Democrats, day one, spying on Trump's campaign, Hillary Clinton colluding with the Obama administration, paying a spy to put out a dossier, which then their buddies in the FBI and elsewhere use as a pretext to conduct espionage and then to have criminal investigations and then to claim Russia collusion. But they don't incite. You say, that's not inciting. No, that's not incitement. None of that upset any of these nut jobs that hit the Capitol building, right? Right? Day in and day out. That had nothing to do with it. Right, ladies and gentlemen? No, no, could not have. It's Trump. Got to get Trump. This is going to have a huge backlash, and it's going to make Trump more popular than ever before. And by targeting Cruz and Hawley, they're making them more popular than ever before. That's what's going on. So number one, to repeat so that backbenchers can regurgitate it, which they're very good at. They don't do it with attribution, but that's okay. We've gotten used to that. And to repeat so the Soros-funded, tax-violating front group Media Matters, oh, they're a bipartisan charitable organization, didn't you know? And the joke Mediaite, which has like the dumbest teenagers who are working for that site, and whomever. Listen carefully. No, you cannot try a private citizen, I don't care who they were, under the impeachment clause of the Constitution. It completely changes the purpose of that clause. And so now we will have, all right, let me put it to you this way. Let's say the Republicans take over the House, the Republicans take over the Senate. They say, you know what? We know that Joe Biden's no longer president of the United States. Let's say he's gone in 2020. We know he's no longer president of the United States. Let me do it differently. Kamala Harris. We know she wants to be president of the United States. She's vice president. But we don't want her to be president of the United States. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to trump up some impeachment clause. Remember, she was inciting violence on the Steve Colbert show. Remember that? Oh, yeah, she was. She celebrated it. She even funded for rioters to be released from jail back when. And we don't need a hearing. We don't need any witnesses. We don't need anything. Just do it, baby. Do it. The Democrat, you get 1 hour. We get 1 hour. We got the votes. She's impeached. Then we go over to the Republican Senate without McConnell and the other loads over there. Then they say, okay, we're going to have a trial. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't have a trial. I mean, maybe she's a private citizen. No, no, we're going to have a trial. We don't ever want her to run again. You can see the tyranny that is being built up around the impeachment clause, as you can see the tyranny that's been built up when it comes to speech and so forth. These are massive abuses of power. And the idea that people at once trustworthy and respectable conservative organizations and sites participate in this is unconscionable, absolutely unconscionable. They're putting words in the mouth of the framers. They're projecting their own opinions. That is all they're doing. Bastardizing completely the impeachment clause of the Constitution. Then the Chief Justice, of course he can't sit as the presiding officer. Because, again, he may have a case in front of him and the other justices, so he has to recuse himself. He can't do, well, then we'll call in Kamala Harris. No, you won't. That's not what it says, just call in the vice president. The president of the Senate? Well, we can for a variety of impeachments. Yeah, but this one's different. You impeached him when he was president of the United States. Now you want to try him as the former president of the United States, claiming the things he did as president of the United States incited an insurrection. You can't pretend that he's the head of the post office and then say, okay, we'll have Kamala Harris. So it's a completely Democrat game. The House majority. The Senate majority with Kamala Harris. Then she sits as the presiding officer. What is this? Stalin's Russia? Shocking, really. All right, I want to turn the Anthony Fauci. There's no easy way to bridge to him, but I'm going to move to him now. I've never liked this guy. I interviewed him. What was it? Back in March. I had a very, very open mind about him. Seemed okay. But now we have the tyranny of these bureaucrats who've run these agencies forever, and in many cases have run them very poorly. Notice there's never really been an expose on Fauci, just all kiss ass all the time. Despite all his appearances in newsrooms and in media formats, nothing serious is asked of this guy. Nothing. Because they used him to go against Trump, and he was more than happy to do it. Not early on, but later. And here he is today on CNN, and he should know better than doing this, but he has completely politicized his infectious diseases organization and has completely politicized his position. And he has no problem with it because he knows there's no punishment for it. So John Berman is CNN, clearly one of the dumbest human beings on the face of the earth. A host at CNN. Cut 18, go.
Did the lack of candor, did the lack of facts in some cases over the last year cost lives?
You know, it very likely did. You know, I don't want that, John, to be a soundbite.
Well, why did you say it then, you idiot? Look, I don't want this to be a soundbite. Of course I don't. But let me make a soundbite, if I may. Go ahead.
Just look at that. You could see that when you're starting to go down paths that are not based on any science at all, and we've been there before, I don't want to rehash it, that is not helpful at all.
Well, what the hell are you talking about? Exactly. What path did the entire federal government in lockstep go down that wasn't science? You've made enough stupid, contradictory statements, not just in the course of the last year, but in the course of your career, which raises serious questions about the science that you're following, the science. Now, Fauci didn't always think this way. The guy's a chameleon. He's a liberal, but he's also a chameleon. I interviewed him on March 22nd for Life, Liberty, and Levin. And in part, here's what he said. Cut 21. Go.
Have you ever seen this big of a coordinated response by an administration to such a threat, a health threat?
Well, we've never had a threat like this, and the coordinated response has been, there are a number of adjectives to describe it. Impressive, I think, is one of them. I mean, we're talking about all hands on deck. Is that I, as one of many people on a team, I'm not the only person, since the beginning that we even recognized what this was, I have been devoting almost full time on this, almost full time. I'm down at the White House virtually every day with the task force. I'm connected by phone throughout the day and into the night. When I say night, I'm talking 12, 1, 2 in the morning. I'm not the only one. There's a whole group of us that are doing that. It's every single day. So I can't imagine that under any circumstances that anybody could be doing more.
Hmm. Well, did the lack of candor, did the lack of facts in some cases over the last year course, like, yeah, well, you know, I don't want to soundbite, but, you know, it very likely did. Cut 22, go.
There's this statement put out, some in the press, some in the opposition party, the president, that the president doesn't follow the science. President following the science?
Every single time that I, and when I say every day, it's like almost every day. It's not like once a month. We're in the task force meeting. There are several of us, myself included, I'm not the only one, that's a scientist or a public health person. There are other people who have other responsibilities, so we get a good sampling of expertise that you need. And it's led by the vice president. Secretary Azar is there as the secretary of HHS. And we talk about every aspect, and we make all of our decisions and recommendations that are based on the science. I have never in that room had a situation where I said, scientifically, this is the right thing to do it, and they said, don't do it, or scientifically, this is the wrong thing to do, and they did it anyway. Then we get up and we present it to the president, and he asks a lot of questions. That's his nature. He's constantly asking you questions. And I never, in the multiple times that I've done that, where I said, for scientific reasons, we really should do this, that he hasn't said, let's do it. Or when he's decided, not decided, when he suggests, why don't we do this? And I say, no, that's really not a good idea from a scientific standpoint. He has never overruled me.
Wow. Must have changed a lot in the last months of the president's presidency. Did you hear that, Mr. Producer? Now, John Berman over at CNN, dumber than a rock, but most of them are. He could have played what I said and said, you know, Mr. Fauci, well, you know, when it got later on and I thought Biden was going to win, I mean, oops, I mean, you know, yeah. So all of a sudden, Trump's following the science, never overruling Fauci, but you know what? That the lack of candor, the lack of facts in some cases over the last year caused, you know, it very likely did. These are sick people who can't keep track of their own lies and contradictions. And let us remember what CNN did yesterday. They took two anonymous, and they know who they are, senior Biden officials, and they lied. 47 times it was counted with their exclusive breaking story that there was no distribution process in place when poor Joe Biden showed up, none whatsoever. As 1 million vaccinations are occurring every single day, there wasn't a distribution process in place. Everybody had a laugh. Even Fredo Cuomo. It was too much for Fredo. Even he said, geez, I'm going to ruin my brand such as it is. I'm going to embarrass myself. And he said, clearly that's not the case. And even Fauci had to fess up later and say it wasn't the case. Nah, it wasn't the case. I mean, after all, there are vaccines being pushed out there. But CBS and CNN lied over and over and over again. Why? Because they wanted to. Because that's the narrative. Because the media are corrupt. They're the enemy of the people. To quote the former president of the United States. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I know you love freedom. How do I know that? Because you listen to my show. And my show and everything I do is all about preserving freedom and the form of government that secures it for us. It's the same with Hillsdale College, one of the very best truly liberal arts colleges in the nation. That's why I talk about them all the time, because Hillsdale is committed to pursuing truth and defending liberty. Hillsdale teaches stellar students to defend freedom, no matter what they major in, whether it's science or music or economics or business, whatever. Hillsdale teaches them how to defend liberty. And they do that for you, too, through their free monthly digest of constitutional thought. It's called Imprimis. 5.6 million Americans receive Imprimis for free each month. And you, my friend and fellow freedom lover, should be reading it too. You can subscribe for free at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. No strings attached. Generous donors who want to preserve freedom for future generations make it possible for all of us. And for Hillsdale to send Imprimis to you for no cost every month. Start receiving and reading Imprimis so you can know how to defend the freedom you love. Visit levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. levinforhillsdale.com.
Mr. Producer, something is wrong with my system here. It's working. We haven't had any hiccups. We haven't had any dropouts. We haven't had anything. It's shocking. Hank Aaron. As a kid, I used to watch Hank Aaron. What a tremendous individual and tremendous baseball player. No scandal swirling around the man. He was soft-spoken, man of few words. He was day in and day out, just a wonderful example to young people who like baseball. He didn't have tremendous home run years. He just had constant home run years. And over time, it really added up. I agree with those who say that the individuals who were using steroids and God knows what else and surpassed him in home runs, I don't count that. I don't count that. He is the true home run king, Hank Aaron, and he passed away today quietly. He passed away today quietly. And so, when you start reaching my age and get older and so on, you watch these icons. When you were a kid, you watched them and used to watch them with your father and your mother and so forth, and they pass away. It's sad. It's very sad. So rest in peace. He made a lot of people happy, entertained a lot of people. And I'll tell you what, baseball, baseball cards, baseball records, there's nothing like them. Not football, not basketball, not hockey, not bowling, not bocce, none of it. Baseball. Well, Bernie Sanders and the Democrats and the leftists and the phony environmentalists and the race baiters and what else do we have out there? All the neo-Marxists, that's what they are. Some of them are more pure than others. They claim to stand for the little guy. The little guy. Mao claimed to stand for the little guy. There's 40 million less of them as a result. Stalin claimed to stand for the little guy. 20 million less of them as a result. All the fascists and communists, they claim to stand for the little guy. They're people's revolutions, after all. If the people would just listen to the masterminds. Well, we don't have it that bad in this country, but we are in a period of absolute repression. On behalf of the people, of course, to protect the people, not the elites, not the left, not Washington, no, the people. And so I want to show you what Bernie Sanders, the left, and Joe Biden really thinks of the people when we return. I'll be right back.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number is 877-381-3811. We will take some calls during the course of the program, 877-381-3811. Before we get to this jobs issue, and it's a big issue, the Congressional Budget Office says that the executive orders that Joe Biden signed in the first 48 hours of his presidency will kill almost 4 million American jobs. 4 million American jobs. But he's for the little guy. The Democrats are for the little guy. The far left's for the little guy. Bernie Sanders is for the little guy. Wonder when the little guy will wake up. And as I sit here and think about this, those of you who are my age or give or take, remember the attack on Big Oil and OPEC and ExxonMobil and Gulf and the, used to call them the Big Seven, the Big Eight, the Big Ten? This oligopoly was driving up the cost of oil, driving up the cost of natural gas, driving up the cost of gasoline that we put in our vehicles, driving it up by reducing the amount of fuel, amount of petroleum that they would allow on the market. And I used to defend them and say, no, that's not how. Oh, yeah, what are you, for big oil? Do you ever hear that term big oil anymore? You never hear that term big oil anymore. Do you ever hear attacks on ExxonMobil? I mean, apart from the climate change idolatry, do you ever? No. Why? Because big oil, small oil, medium-sized oil used American know-how and technology to create an abundance of oil and natural gas, driving down the cost of fuel, driving down the cost of heating fuel, driving down the cost of the gasoline you put in your vehicle, and making it plentiful through fracking. You don't hear about Big Oil or the Big Eight, the Big Seven, the Big Ten anymore. You don't hear about the monopoly of Big Oil anymore. It was always a lie, but you don't hear about it anymore. Because our oil industry has created an abundance of petroleum, clean petroleum, for our society, for our economy. And so now the Democrats and the radical neo-Marxist leftists, they've reversed course. It is they who are the monopolists. It is they who want to limit the availability of petroleum. It is they who want to create a scarce resource. It is they who want to drive up the cost of the gasoline in your car, the home heating fuel, and all the other uses that petroleum is put to throughout the society, and they're manifold. It's not big oil, it's big government. It's big liberal. It's big neo-Marxist. They're the monopolists. They're the robber barons. They don't care about the people. They came up with their latest excuse, man-made climate change. So we must destroy our economy. We must destroy that which fuels our economy. It's amazing to watch how they get away with changing the narrative, just flipping the narrative. It's like with illegal immigration. I talked about Cesar Chavez, Walter Mondale, Ralph Abernathy, the position of the unions of the Democrat Party were hell-bent against illegal immigration because they believed rightly it drove down the wages. It drove down wages and so forth. Now it's open arms for illegal immigration, and the more the merrier, and we'll eventually make everybody legal and citizens, and then they can vote. Why? Because, you see, folks, And I don't know if I'm ever going to get through to everybody on this. The neo-Marxists have found a party, the Democrat Party, and now it's allegiance to the Democrat Party and the power of the party. That's all that matters. Not labor, not jobs, not cheap fuel. It doesn't matter to these people. They want to centralize power and control events that occur in this society. Unfortunately, for some, it's a power trip. It is an instinct, an evil instinct. For many of us, it's irrational, but it doesn't matter. It's just happening. So big oil has been replaced by big government. Big oil and all oil has created cheap, available fuel, and now that is said to be the problem. So now cheap, available fuel, 40 years after we demanded energy independence, is rejected by the Democrat Party, the neo-Marxists, the media, and the usual culprits in the conga line of leftism. Think about what I'm saying. It's important. Now we have Bernie Sanders, who apparently incited an individual to shoot Republican congressmen, particularly Steve Scalise, that day on the baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia. Remember that, Mr. Producer? Apparently his hate America, constant rhetoric about the injustices of America and all the rest of it, resulted in one individual nearly killing a congressman. And you have to admit, Paul Fari and Jeremy, what's his name? Peters and all you other cretins. Nobody's ever done that related to me, but there's Bernie Sanders. He gets a pass. He doesn't incite anybody. Leftists don't incite anybody. Marxists don't incite anybody. The media don't incite anybody. No, no, no. Just us. Here's Bernie Sanders. A late night with Seth Meyers, another jackass. Cut 17, go.
I think the president is off to a very good start. And what I liked about his inaugural remarks and the general tone of his administration is he recognizes that this country faces a set of unprecedented crises, from the pandemic to the economy.
That's not correct. We the people face an unprecedented crisis from them, from the left, from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. We face a crisis because of them, a constitutional crisis, an economic crisis. Go ahead.
Threats against democracy, to climate change, to income and wealth inequality. I think he understands that. And I think if we can give him the support that he needs in Congress, he can, in fact, be an extremely progressive president addressing the crises facing working families.
Oh, very progressive. Breitbart News, our buddy Joel Pollack. Biden kills up to 70,000 jobs on the first day in office. President Joe Biden's first day in office may have been historic in more ways than one. He may have set a single day record for the number of jobs killed by an American president. Biden revoked the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline as promised. In so doing, he killed some 11,000 direct jobs that the pipeline's construction was to have created, an estimated 60,000 indirect jobs in secondary related industries. Over 1,000 workers already on the job, mostly union workers, will be laid off as a result of the decision, even if it is litigated, as many expect it will be, in the courts. Senator Ted Cruz confronted Secretary of Transportation nominee Pete Buttigieg over the Keystone XL decision on Thursday morning during Buttigieg's confirmation hearing. If the administration was serious about infrastructure, Cruz said, why was it killing an infrastructure project with good-paying union jobs? Isn't it amazing Republicans are defending union workers? And Democrats claim to defend them and represent them. Joe Biden went all around Wilmington, Delaware, on at least three occasions, Mr. Producer, during the campaign. And said he was the president of the unions. He's the president of the public sector unions. He's not the president of the private sector unions. Buttigieg said the idea was that net jobs created in more climate-friendly industries would be positive. Cruz retorted that that was little comfort to the Keystone XL workers who were being laid off. So for those workers, Cruz said, the answer is somebody else will get a job. And so this affects steel workers. It affects oil workers. It affects all the little businesses that are involved in feeding and supporting these efforts. And why? Why is there a war on energy? Why is there a war on energy? Think about this. In his COVID-19 emergency bill, $1.9 trillion, there's tens of billions of dollars for subways, for public transportation. I thought, if anything, the Chinese coronavirus showed us that that was a bad idea, that you don't want people, you know, crushed together like whatever in tuna cans. And now we're being told, no, we need to pay more money for these public transportation. So all you people who don't use public transportation, who don't even live near public transportation, let me tell you what your bills are going to look like. You're going to be subsidizing that. Plus, your personal costs for your own vehicle are going to go up. Your personal costs for using your own vehicle will go up. So the little guy that they're always right, the little guy, we represent the little guy. They're the ones with the wealthy. We represent the little guy. So the little guy is going to see that they're subsidizing. Just think about this agenda. They're going to be subsidizing people going to college. Many little guys don't. Two-thirds of the people in this country don't. They're going to be subsidizing public transportation and subways where they don't use public transportation and don't live anywhere near subways. Because of the ideological radicalism, you're going to see your gasoline prices go up substantially. You might even see brownouts and blackouts over time as they have in California. Remember, they want to make America into California. Shortages, brownouts and blackouts, forest fires. Oh, it's just swell. That's why everybody can't get the hell out of there fast enough. There's going to be an enormous burden placed on the little guy in this country, union or non-union. An enormous burden placed on you. Meantime, he's going to open the borders to illegal immigrants, which will again push labor prices, that is the cost for wages and all, down. But don't worry, we have the $15 minimum wage. We'll fix that, which means you're going to get fired. People can't afford that. A salon, a pizzeria. You see these little stores. They're fighting for their lives as it is. All of a sudden, okay, $15 minimum wage. Oh, my God, how am I going to pay for this? Well, they're not. What is it? You can't get blood from a stone. Isn't that how it goes? But the liberals will try. So he's killed almost 100,000 jobs on his first 2 days in office. Through his immigration policies, he will kill many more. And the Congressional Budget Office says that based on the executive orders he's already signed, that will destroy up to 4 million jobs. Not on Wall Street. Not in Hollywood and Beverly Hills. Not among his friends. But, you know, the little people out there. You deserve what you vote for. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer?
Woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
The would-be Secretary of Transportation has no experience as a secretary or on transportation.
Pete Buttigieg.
He also said today that he could support a federal tax based on the number of miles that you drive. Now, number one, consider how intrusive that is. You're going to have to report to the IRS how many miles you drive. What other data do they want? Number two. Consider that expense. They're going to increase the cost of gasoline with their policies. They're going to reduce the supply. They're going to drive up all your energy costs. And by the way, as I've said before, petroleum products are everywhere around you. Look at your roof. Look at your walls. Look at the floors. Your clothing. So many things that you use in your household. Plastics. They're going to drive up the costs. They're going to have data on how many miles you drive. They're going to be able to audit you in order to determine if that's correct. They want you to live in smaller and smaller. They want you to live in bigger and bigger and dense and more dense places, which the coronavirus should have shown them is a bad idea. What about truckers across this country? Well, of course, that's going to drive up the cost of food, isn't it? Most of the people coming up with these ideas have never worked in the private sector. They really don't drive that much. Joe Biden took a train his whole life. Train to nowhere, but nonetheless. His transportation was subsidized for his entire adult life. Kamala Harris knows nothing about economics. Absolutely zero. Same with Buttigieg. Nothing. But they have all the ideas. All the plans, because they have all the power. And if they have their way, there'll be no way to stop them in the United States Senate because they're going to destroy the filibuster rule. That's why this is all interlinked and very, very important. And so they're going to put pressure on not hiring legal American citizens with open borders in a $15 an hour minimum wage. They're going to put pressure on small businesses that are going to shutter or lay people off. They're going to drive up the cost of transportation, electricity, heating oil, petroleum goods across the board. They're going to create shortages. Look, folks, this is stuff. This is like physics. Either you know it or you don't. It's not about platitudes and emotions and passion. These are facts. They're undeniable. Follow the science, as Fauci would say. Well, follow the economic reality, which is a science too. And we will have down the road, as I wrote in Liberty and Tyranny 10 years ago, if these policies continue, brownouts and blackouts like they have in California, which once was the most wealthy, forward-looking state on the face of the country. And people wanted to go to California. Everybody said, go west. Go west. That's where the opportunities are. And they were, but not anymore. Remember that LA Times piece I keep mentioning? They want to make America California. Really? Unbelievable. An allegiance to the Democrat Party. A one-party system. These people are power hungry. You know, people often say to me, well, but it's going to affect them and their kids. No, it's not. No, it's not. Whether it's neo-Marxist or a pure Marxist regime or a fascistic regime, a non-Republican, small r, type of governing system, there's always that higher level. Plato talked about it in the Republic. Hobbes talked about it. They all talked about it. And that's what you'll have. And that's kind of what you saw on Inauguration Day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, We're only halfway through. I've got a hell of a lot more to get to, including your calls. I promised, and we will do that. I'll be right back. You know, I recently learned about Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants. They have everything you could want, fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and much more. My wife and I take pride in our home, and that includes having a landscape that brings us serenity. And you too can find the perfect fit for your home based on your climate and space. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com. Use code LEVIN, L-E-V-I-N, at checkout. Get an additional 15% off your first purchase from their already very low prices. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And they offer a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee with free plant consultation forever. Right now, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And again, my listeners get an additional 15% off on their first purchase when using the code LEVIN at checkout. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code L-E-V-I-N. Now, the offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit fastgrowingtrees.com for details.
Mark Levin, the voice the liberals want to silence. But you can talk to Mark at 877-381-3811.
49% of Americans say their top New Year's resolution is to save money in the next year. Well, let's check that box right now. When your family switches to Pure Talk from AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, you could save over $800 a month. Why? Well, in my humble opinion, you're getting ripped off. It's that simple. And that's real money every single month right back in your pocket. And you don't have to sacrifice coverage at all. Pure Talk is on exactly the same network as these big carriers who are overcharging you. And they charge you half. That's right, no gimmicks, no fluff added to your bills. Which is why Pure Talk is the top-rated wireless company by Consumer Affairs. And how about this offer? Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. That's all. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. They don't care. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250, and say Mark Levin. That's #250, say Mark Levin. You've heard me talk about this. Some of you are waiting. I don't know why. Why would you wait? You're burning money. Stop burning money. And when you do dial #250 and say Mark Levin, you'll also save 50% off your first month in addition to the rest. Again, dial #250 and say keyword Mark Levin. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. All right. Eric's been waiting the longest. Palisades Park, New Jersey. I know exactly where that is. The great WABC. Go. Yes.
Good evening, Mark. Pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Yes, it is. Thank me very much. How are you, sir?
Good. Mark, I heard you in the opening talk about Fauci. Just from my own personal experience, if I may share with you, my turning point in terms of me thinking about, you know, changing my view about the guy was, if you recall, last year during baseball opening season, mm-hmm. he threw out the first pitch of the Washington Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's celebrating, and we're in the middle of a pandemic at the time. He's not even up to the 50-yard line at that point in terms of the pandemic. He's still at the 20-yard line, and he's out celebrating.
He's out. He's at the baseball park. He's People Magazine. He's in front of other magazines. He's doing set shots around a pool. He's showing up endlessly on cable TV, on network TV. He's doing long-form interviews with newspapers. Honest to God, you have a pandemic going on, your point. And you're really such a media prostitute that you can't, I mean, how can you possibly focus on something this enormous and be doing all that self-promoting media?
Well, he was working 12 hours, according to your...
No, he was working 40 hours a day, I hear.
Well, yeah, I mean, public, you know, public...
How far are you from the Palisades Mall?
About 20, 25 minutes, I guess.
Is the mall open?
It would take a few...
Is the mall open? You got a nut job governor there. I'm just wondering. All right, we don't know. All right, my friend, thank you for your call. Some kind of delay, I'm sorry. Let us continue. Let's see. Paul, New Orleans, Louisiana, XM Satellite. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing good, Mark. How you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you, my friend.
All right. Mark, I'm a 15-year oil field roughneck in Louisiana.
God
and
I'd like to point out
that the suspension of the XL pipeline is a direct play from the Obama administration. If you think back to when the BP Horizon explosion happened, they put a moratorium on drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. All of the semi-submersible rigs and drill ships went to Brazil and went to work for George Soros, who owns Petrobras. Well, now, without the pipeline, the oil production in Canada is still happening, but they have to put that oil on rail cars, which happen to be owned by Warren Buffett, who is also a big-time Democrat donor. Isn't that a coincidence?
Geez, I didn't even know all this. And it's a coincidence, but even on top of that, these rail lines and everything else, they're going to create a hell of a lot more pollution, and the price of fuel is going to go up, and you scratch your head, and people really believe that this guy stands for the little guy. This guy doesn't stand for the little guy. He's a moron.
A bunch of us that's been in the industry a long time.
Let me just say this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but let me just say this. Someday, men and women who work in industries like yours, or men and women who grow our food, or truckers who bring us our food, someday the men and women who get dirt under their fingernails and get soot on their face, someday those men and women in America are going to say, we are sick and tired of San Francisco and Baltimore, San Francisco being Pelosi, Baltimore, I don't know who's even there anymore, or Schumer and New Yorkers, and I love New Yorkers, we're sick and tired of them telling us what to do. So you know what? We're not going to send you any more oil. We're not going to send you any more food. We're not going to drive our trucks anymore. At some point, I'm concerned about this and I'm worried about this. You can't keep smothering people. You can't keep smothering their livelihood like this. Go right ahead.
Mr. Levin, one last point. Mm-hmm. The Barack Obama move to Soros and Petrobras was strictly a money laundering scheme because of the political donations. And a lot of us in the industry are looking at this as a targeted financial attack on this country's resources, because undoubtedly Warren Buffett is going to launder money back to the Democrat Party. And
if Warren Buffett wants to come on this program and challenge the things you're saying, he's more than welcome to do so. I have no firsthand knowledge of that. I just have to say that openly to you. But I even feel it's just a pure policy matter without all the rest. It is a disaster. And it undermines working people in this country, union and non-union. It's going to drive up costs. And these folks in the suburbs who drive in and out of work every day, they're going to see the effects of this. But more and more, you know, people sit on their ass in front of a computer and make $100,000, $150,000 a year. They're going to think this is perfectly fine. What do I care? I don't drive. What do I care? That's right. That's right. Global warming. All right, my friend. Thank you for your call. Tim, Charlotte, North Carolina, XM Satellite. Tim, go right ahead, please.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, I've noticed something kind of interesting that's going on. I have some Democrat friends, and after the speech, it seemed to be that a bit of Biden buyer's remorse was occurring. And what I mean by that is there was this impression, okay, like obviously I can't name names here with my friends, but there was this impression that Biden was going to be
Fred.
Moderate.
Fred? Are you talking about Fred?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so... So the buyer's remorse.
Buyer's remorse already?
Yeah, there's this expectation, apparently, that he's supposed to be moderate. This guy, like, from my perspective, there's nothing moderate about a guy that looks at you literally in the eye and goes, hey, not only am I for the little guy, I want to remove the tax cuts and raise taxes. So
I'm just going to take away 4 million jobs, remove permits, and I'm going to make everything more difficult, more pricey, because, you know, 4 million jobs doesn't increase tax receipts at all, you know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. But I'm starting to get that sensation, and I'm kind of hopeful. And what I mean by that is I'm hopeful because if the Democrats and the left have to go this much and hijack the institutions to this extent to barely win or have a 50-50, right, in the Senate, just imagine what would
occur. But this is why they must continue to change the voting processes in these states, and they're going to keep at it. And the Republicans were caught short on this. And, you know, I talked about it over and over again. The Republicans better have lawyers in these states. And you see, when you have a Republican Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, they don't sit there and figure out ways that they're going to make it easier for Republicans to win, like the elected Supreme Court of Pennsylvania did with their Democrats. And so this becomes a problem. So ideas are important. Convincing people is important. But controlling the instrumentalities of government, that's crucial. And we're not very good at that because we have doofuses like Mitch McConnell and that whole conga line of Mitch McConnell likes, you know, who line up behind him every time he goes to the microphone. Let me ask you a question, and I mean this quite seriously. Mitch McConnell, when he speaks, do you get the notion, Tim, that he's really communicating with young people, with minorities, with the American? Do you think he's capable of that? I get the impression that, who is this guy? He talks like a buffoon.
Yeah, Mark, when I hear Mitch McConnell talk, to be honest with you, I haven't heard him talk too much, but this is the impression I get. I get the impression that he's in on it. And I don't mean that, obviously, to charge him with anything. I don't have evidence, right? Even though, of course, they can go 4 years with no evidence against Trump and pursue it, right? But I don't.
Here's what he sounds like. That's not particularly articulate, is it?
No, sir. It sounds like he has a bit of you know, his nuts in his mouth and being like a chipmunk or something. I don't freaking know, you know.
But all anyway. Right, brother. Thank you for your call. Who else do we have here? We have Efren. Atlanta, Georgia, XM Satellite, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I just wanted to say thank you for all what you do for us, you know, saying the conservatives, and, you know, for what we believe in and standing up for it. But
thank
I'm
you.
Here in Atlanta, Georgia, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm an African-American in the community, and, you know, it just seems like everyone, basically everywhere I turn, most Black folks think that Republicans are Nazis
mm-hmm.
or white supremacists or racists.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I, of course, you listen to Don Lemonade on CNN and all the gibberish that he talks. Basically, you know, I just think that, you know, we need to educate our community because they don't really understand or see that, you know, socialism, the New World Order, the 2030 agenda, all the, you know, policies that they have that's hurting us as Americans is affecting us. And
but here's the thing. It's a tough nut to crack in this sense. There really hasn't been a president in a long time that has really tried to reach into minority communities and to try to do things that would assist minority communities economically, education with school choice, criminal justice reform, like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
There really hasn't been. And while he made inroads in minority communities, the fact is when you have Hispanics voting 65% Democrat, you can make inroads all you want. That means six or seven out of every 10 who are voting for Democrats. And same in the Black community. He made inroads in the Black community, particularly with Black males in the Black community. But again, even if he doubles the number of the Black male vote, which he pretty much did in terms of in contrast to other Republicans, if you're still giving 85% of the vote or so to the Democrats, you can double the vote all you want. That's 85% of the voting population of that community is voting for Democrats. The reason why the Democrats have absolutely reversed course on a dime when it comes to illegal immigration is they used to want to protect their union friends. Now the unions and they have decided that the best way to grow their ranks and the best way to win elections is to bring in as many foreigners as possible, legal and illegal, put them on a glide path to legalization and citizenship and have them vote. Why? Because 6 or 7 or 8 out of every 10 of them are going to vote for Democrats. And it's very hard to have a message of freedom and constitutionalism and capitalism and all the rest when the other party is saying, you know what, you'll go to college for free. You know what, we'll tax the hell out of the rich and we'll give you money and down the list. And down the list. So they really are treacherous on the left. They really know how to spin the narrative as neo-Marxists. They have big media and big tech on their side. And I'm not saying all this to depress everybody. I'm just saying we have quite a mountain to climb here.
A big mountain. And I want to be an advocate in the community and educate, the New World Agenda, the financial reset, just everything that's, definitely planned with the left, what they have in mind. And the ones that I do get a chance to break the knowledge to and they do research, they switch over.
But here's the thing. It all begins with education. And they have an education monopoly. The white liberals want education monopolies. The black mayors want education monopolies. The teacher unions are enormously powerful. They're a very, very big part of the Democrat victory machine. They have 2 million precinct workers. They donate. This is why our children aren't going back to school, because these Democrat cities have buckled to the unions rather than looking out for the children, because they're very, very important. Until we get school choice, until we teach about capitalism and opportunity and profit and all the things that make liberty really important, it's going to be very difficult to make any headway. Ephraim, I want to thank you very, very much. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
You know, when the temperature drops, the chances of something in your car breaking goes way up. Last thing we want is the heater in our cars breaking down in the freezing cold here in the Levin family. So if I'm driving down a street across town or across country, I need the reassurance that if anything happens, I'm protected. That's why we have CarShield. And thanks to CarShield, we have maximum safety on the road for a low month-to-month cost. They also help protect us from expensive car repairs. In fact, plans from CarShield can save you thousands for a covered repair. Plus, CarShield gets you 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance. And if your car is going to be worked on for a while, you can get rental coverage too at no additional cost. You really need to check these folks out. Drive with confidence, like I do, knowing that if anything happens, you're protected. Get coverage today and see why CarShield cars go farther. Call 800-665-2157. Mention code Levin. That's 800-665-2157. Mention code Levin, and they're there right now. Or you can go online to carshield.com and use code Levin, L-E-V-I-N, to save 10%. That's carshield.com. Use code Levin. Either way, you'll save 10%. It really is a fantastic service, and I want to recommend it to you very, very strongly. Eric, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, KZIM. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. It's an honor to speak to you, Mr. Levin.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question. It's just actually a thought. Why would prevents the...
You know, you could have a thought and a question.
Exactly. I guess I could.
Yes, yes.
What prevents the Republicans from embracing this impeachment and presenting a defense that basically ties up Congress? I mean, you could call every House member who voted for the impeachment and have them testify for at least half a day each.
Well, you know what? Theoretically, you certainly could. In fact, call every witness that was out on the street.
Yes.
Call 400,000 people. You see, it's not going to happen, but you're thinking creatively. You're thinking like somebody who really wants to protect this republic and, quite frankly, protect the ex-president from this congressional mob. And you're right. And they need to be thinking this way on Capitol Hill, but instead they're thinking of themselves. They're worried about what's going to be said about them on CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times, the Washington Post. They're worried about the wrong people who want to destroy them as it is. But we're going to keep an eye on them. We have tens of millions of listeners to this program on God knows how many formats in every corner of this country. And we are going to watch this very, very carefully. All right, Eric, thank you for your call. I shall return.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this final hour of the podcast is sponsored exclusively by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we care about, faith, family, and freedom. Thank you for listening, and please support AMAC. And you can become a member at amac.us/join.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Temple counts BLM investment among proudest moments of 2020, right alongside Alzheimer's HIV breakthroughs from campus reform. Temple University, that's where I went to college and law school. Temple University, I better not tell them, they'll yank my degrees, won't they? Temple University's official news service declared that funding anti-racism education was among its proudest moments of 2020. This initiative was counted alongside groundbreaking Alzheimer's and HIV research. In Temple University's official news service, writes Benjamin Zusloft, counted its funding of anti-racism education as one of its proudest moments. Temple, a public university in Philadelphia, said that its investment of $1 million in anti-racism education and programming at the university, which supported the launch of its Center for Anti-Racism Research, was part of a good to come out of this year. Temple launched the new program, quote, in response to the Black Lives Matter protests and renewed awareness of racial and social inequality. The school announced in October it would add four new faculty members to lead the initiative, Ibrahim X. Kendi, leader of Boston University's Center for Anti-Racist Research and author of How to Be an Anti-Racist, graduated from Temple's Department of Africology and African American Studies. Who else do we have here? Temple mentioned its breakthrough in HIV, Alzheimer's, and COVID-19 research as other proud moments alongside its investment in anti-racism. Temple wrote that it made important strides in using CRISPR gene editing technology to potentially cure HIV. In 2020, the school also used a $3.8 million Pennsylvania Department of Health grant to study cardiovascular risk in relation to Alzheimer's disease. And Temple identified the first genome to transmit the coronavirus, which provided new insights into the early mutation history of the disease. And one Temple University undergraduate student told Campus Reform that pushing the anti-culture is toxic. The undergraduate said, I think Temple should promote become a good person and everyone with respect rather than the promotion of calling everyone out, she explained. If it were really a learning curve, it would require patience and diligence. You wouldn't plaster up someone's poor math grades. You'd teach them how to do math. First of all, Mr. Brutus, you have to teach them how to speak English. I have no idea what the hell that girl said. Do you? Why don't we treat people's harmful thought processes the same way, the student said. Oh, now I get it. Fascism. The student asked to remain anonymous. The student said that they have more controversial views, but rather than engaging in discussion, finds that most people my age tend to just cancel or label people as ignorant. As Campus Reform reported in July, Temple University announced that it would divest from the Philadelphia Police Foundation. The funds to the charity were reallocated to support social justice programs at the university. Now, I went to this university. both its inner city campus in North Philadelphia and its suburban campus. And it's very interesting to me. I think we had the third or fourth largest police force in the state. That was the Temple University security program, Mr. Producer. And way back then, when I was, in my teens and then in my 20s, it was a very, very dangerous place. And it's only gotten more so, as has my city of Philadelphia. When I was a kid, I would go down there with my buddy Eric or my buddy Jack. We would go down there really quite freely. We didn't have to worry about too much. We take what was the Reading train at the time, and we'd get down to the Reading Terminal, and we would walk from the Reading Terminal, which wasn't too far from the, Independence Hall. And we walked down to Independence Hall, and that's where I would study the Declaration, study the Constitution, learn as much as I could, as we could. And then we'd walk back on Market Street. Market Street used to be a lot of fun. Really didn't have to worry about very much. Not so much today. It's quite different. It's more progressive. It's more humane, I guess you would say. But it's not. I went to Temple University, and I can't imagine being, how old was I when I went to Temple? Well, 17 is when I started Temple. I can't imagine wanting to go to Temple University today. Matter of fact, I can't imagine wanting to go to most of these universities today. I just can't. A white suburban kid, coming in downtown to go to school, being viewed officially by the bureaucracy there, being viewed officially as a problem, as interminably racist, I guess. I can remember going to law school down there. We had a lot of fun. I was a known, outspoken Reagan conservative. And there were a number of African-American students. Some of them were, they would embrace the ideology of Malcolm X and so forth. And you know what? We got along great. Several of us became very, very good friends. I wonder if that would happen today. I really do. In fact, we used to, quite frankly, laugh at some of these professors and plot and plan certain questions to kind of not disrupt the class. We didn't do that. But to knock sort of the professor off their teaching plan for the day. But I don't think that would happen today. I really don't. It's really quite sad what's going on. And the more this is pushed, the more balkanized communities become, whether it's college campuses, whether it's neighborhoods, whether it's the broader politics. And it is getting very, very bad. It's even getting dangerous. And when you watch, this is what bothers me. When you really watch these truly stupid ignoramuses on cable TV, on CNN and MSNBC, and the fools that they bring on, the most radical, outrageous individuals who say the most radical, outrageous things to promulgate this hatred. And then they wonder, why can't there be unity? Because they talk out of both sides of their mouths. That's why. Let's go to Charles, Camden, New Jersey. Oh, I remember Camden very, very well. The great WPHT, our wonderful affiliate there. Charles, how are you?
Okay, how you doing, Mr. Levin?
I'm doing all right.
Listen, in case we get disconnected, I want you to know I love you, man.
Oh, thank you.
Calling you from a nondescript building. And I'm originally from Philadelphia, so that story you told about Temple, it's kind of close to my heart.
Yeah.
But I was listening to and watching Joe Biden as he passed that executive order that just with a swift point of the pen took away 11,000 jobs, billions of dollars. And I said to myself, wow, this guy is going to be a real burden on America. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me, maybe that should be his name, President Burden. So I figured I wanted to run that by you. You're the first person I thought about to run that by. So I'm going to offer that to you. His name for now on shall be.
Charles, let me ask you something. Do you live in Camden or are you just from Camden?
I'm from Philadelphia, but I live in Camden.
Has Camden, and I haven't been up there for some time, has Camden sort of revitalized? I just kind of remember it was a very, the things that happened to Camden were very sad over the years.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, Camden is kind of like in limbo. It seems to be revitalizing from time to time. Then it goes back, then it comes back again. You know, it's constantly in the midst of revitalization, you know. So I never know what position it's in, you know, from time to time.
Now, you told my call screen, I see it here, you didn't certainly need to. You said that you're an African-American Jew. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. I like to think of myself as a black guy with Jewish intestines.
Okay. And how's that working out for you right now?
Well, I try to be, you know, I try to lay low. You know, I don't want to advertise it too much. I don't mind telling you.
Right.
And, you know, so it not too bad. I kind of blend in, you know. Obviously, I'm a conservative, and so I do.
How did you come by your conservatism? Your parents, or it's just something you studied, or what?
Well, I went in the military. That's what did it for me. And, as you know, being Jewish, you know, most Jews are liberal. But, you know, after I went into the military, it was a whole different experience. It opened up my eyes to a lot of things. I went around the world a few times and, you know, I saw the politics that exist around the world and our positions. And I just gravitated to it. It was a natural thing.
All right, my friend. Well, I very much appreciate your call. You take care of yourself. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
Now, Mr. Producer, you're a big Steelers fan, correct? Were you a Pirates fan? Mets. Oh, okay. It is a long story. Would you bump your head? Listen, I'm not against the Mets. I don't get into the Mets-Yankees thing, but, you know, the Yankees have quite a history, you know. But well, open your microphone. Why are you a Mets fan?
You and
my buddy Darian, who's also on our staff here.
I grew up in the Bronx, a Mets fan.
Oh, so the people in the Bronx are Mets fans?
Yes.
What happened to the Bronx Bomber?
I was one of the lone Mets fans.
Now, wait a minute. Now I'm convinced. One of the lone Mets fans in the Bronx? The Bronx is where the stadium used to be for the Yankees, right?
Correct, it is.
So then what does that have to do with being a Mets fan?
My family was Mets fans.
Ah, I see.
And the Steelers, I was born right outside Pittsburgh.
Really? Okay, very, very good.
Interesting.
Not really. All right. I'm not a fan of anything anymore. Do you realize I haven't watched a football game all season, Mr. Producer? And you haven't either, right? Do you realize I haven't watched a basketball game in I don't know how long? And you know what's funny? I don't miss it. Do you miss it? I really don't miss it. No, I like watching college football now and then, but I haven't watched much of that. I like watching college basketball. I've always liked watching college basketball more than professional basketball. Haven't watched a lot of that either. I watch the UFC. I think Dana White has done a brilliant job. I like Bellator. I like the MMA, period. Do you ever watch that, Mr. Producer? It's funny, when my wife and I were courting, it's an old phrase, dating, I'd watch some of the UFC and she'd sit next to me and watch it. I know she hated it. And of course, now that we're married, it's like I'm in one room and she's in the other. Listen, I can't say I blame her. But I do look forward to it. When I know that there's going to be a great match on Saturday, I really look forward to it. Now, I prefer if it was on pay-per-view. ESPN has screwed up the whole thing. That's my one complaint. Going through ESPN in order to get to the fights, it's really obnoxious and annoying. So I probably watch Bellator more because they don't go through ESPN. And 98% of you have no idea what I'm talking about. All right, let me move on. John, Lakeview, New York, XM Satellite. John, go right ahead, sir. Yellow.
Hey,
yellow.
Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to give you a call here. I'm a proud member of Operating Engineers Local 17, Buffalo, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the pleasure of speaking to a friend of mine who was a business representative at 571 in Nebraska today. And I just want to give your callers and you a little education here on what the impact is of this pipeline shutdown has done since this week. Already 12 guys have been laid off from the pump station in Steel City, Nebraska. Now, to give you an idea, these were good-paying jobs. The guy did the math. Between now and June, which would have completed the pump station, him and the other operating engineers lost approximately $90,000 in wages. That's not a year. That's between now and June. Then, after June, the pipeline was going to begin construction from the pump station to the border, which would have entailed three spreads.
Would have entailed what? I lost you there.
It would have entailed three spreads, okay? A spread is you'll have a company that comes in. You'll have three companies that come in, like Precision Pipeline, Enbridge, Hinkles McCoy. And they'll do the spread from there to the border. That would have employed over 500 operating engineers.
Jeez.
That's just operating engineers, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
That's not including the laborers. That's not including the pipeliners, local 798. That's not including Teamsters.
It's not including steel workers who make the pipe.
Right. And a good point, because right now all that pipe has been offloaded by the rail system. The pipe comes down rail systems.
So what are they going to do with all this pipe?
Massive yards. The contractor's going to bite it, Mark. They're going to bite it.
Well, then they're going to go under. Who the hell can handle that?
I don't know. All I know, picture, there's over 150 miles of pipe sitting in those yards right now.
Oh, my God.
And those pipes are like 40-foot sections. So picture the amount of pipe that's sitting in those yards right now. They're going to bite it. They're going to scrap is what they're going to do. They're going to sell for scrap.
Yeah, but imagine the cost, and you know all this. I don't. I'm a pedestrian. You got to take that stuff, send it back to where they can melt it, and then resell it all. There's enormous expense involved in doing absolutely nothing productive.
Exactly. You've got a half-ass built pipeline here, and now the rest of the pipe is sitting, and that's not including all the other businesses. It's like a trickle-down effect, you know?
No, you're right. The truckers, the electricians, the little restaurants and diners that are feeding people, and you can go on and on and on, all the residual businesses and business activity that's taking place. That's the nature of the capitalist system. And these are good-paying jobs. And you want to know what Pete Buttigieg said today, sir? They'll just have to find other jobs. Now, what the hell other jobs are you going to find? You're trained for that. You can't just become a computer networker, and we have enough of them anyway.
Mark, let me ask you. I'm a third-generation operating engineer. That would be like, you know what? It'd be like me telling you, hey, Mark, you lost your job here in network radio here. Come be an operating engineer. You'll pick up a job doing something else.
You're right.
Go be a labor.
You're right. You know, but I hope union members, I mean private sector union members, understand what the hell's going on here. Because I'm going to tell you something, John. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. These people are frauds. They don't care about the little guy. They use the little guy. And I want to thank you for your call. We'll be right back.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest-growing organizations in America, now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead, AMAC.us.
America's most powerful conservative voice, The Mark Levin Show. Dial in now, 877-381-3811.
The fact is, the House will deliver the article of impeachment to the Senate. The Senate will conduct a trial of the impeachment of Donald Trump. It will be a full trial. It will be a fair trial. But make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Guys, such an idiot. I don't know what to add to this. Incited the erection against the United States. These people are so pathetic. It would be humorous if they didn't have the sword of Damocles hanging over all our heads. Excited the erection. Reminds me of the old Bill Clinton days, Mr. Producer. Tamara Reid, is that the young lady's name who accused Biden of molestation? What was her first name? I'm trying to remember. But nonetheless, Tara Reid, I apologize, Tara Reid, she said that she was absolutely, really just so frustrated and upset and felt so awful watching Joe Biden take the oath of office. That young lady never got her day. She never got her day. The media treated her shabbily. They started to attack her. How dare she come forward? The Praetorian Guard. They wanted to know everything about Donald Trump and his private life. They want to know nothing about Joe Biden and his private life. Nothing. It's like Ted Kennedy, John Kerry, and all the rest of them. Very sad. So apparently they want to have a trial on whether Donald John Trump incited the erection that occurred in the Capitol building, because they have ED apparently in the Capitol building. And I wouldn't be surprised by that in the least, quite frankly. But let's hear it one more time, just for good time's sake, Mr. Producer. Go ahead.
The fact is, the House will deliver the article of impeachment to the Senate. The Senate will conduct a trial of the impeachment of Donald Trump. It will be a full trial. It will be a fair trial. But make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Now, those words will live in infamy, don't you think, Mr. Producer? He will never live that down, and we'll make sure of that. Why don't you put that in our mumblers, Mr. Producer? Just that little piece. Incited the insurrection against the United States. I'm sorry. I can't help it. All right. Len, Los Angeles, California, the great KRLA, 870 AM, where we're live and national. Mr. Len, let me ask you a question. Do you think Chuck Schumer believes that Donald Trump incited the erection in the Capitol?
I think he thinks it does, but we know different.
Yes, exactly. Go right ahead, my friend.
And it's really... Well, I've been with the railroad for 29 years, and I can tell you this much. Last time we had layoffs, really bad layoffs, were when Obama was in office. Hillary was going to come into office, and we had lost 30,000 jobs because of no coal. Now, with what Joe Biden's doing, I'm fear we're going to lose maybe 30,000 to 50,000 jobs at the railroad. And it's really pathetic, and it makes me sick.
And it should, because they claim to represent the worker. And I'm telling you, what they represent are the bureaucrats and the teachers' unions. They don't represent the cops and the firefighters and the emergency personnel. They don't represent the people, as I say, who get dirt under their fingernails. They're at war with our economy. And they are going to hurt us in grievous, grievous ways. And I wish you all the best, Len. And, Mr., I stand for the unions. Problem is, the union bosses don't even stand for the unions anymore, Len. All right, my friend, thank you for your call. Let's continue. Let me go to David, Dallas, Texas, the great WPAP. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, I kind of wanted to go back to something your call screen guy said that I missed it. But every time I hear the left and this group, this administration, call for unity, the only thing I can think is they want compliance. And the reason I say that is I've watched several of the man on the street things and all like that, and they say, well, in order to get unity, what are we going to need? Well, we're going to need compromise. All right, well, what are you willing to compromise on? And basically, oh, well, we can't give up this. We can't give up that. We can't give up the Green New Deal. We can't give up oil the different, basically every different item out there. There's no compromise. And so every time I hear Biden and this group tell me, well, what we want is unity, all I can hear is what we want is compliance.
They want compliance. I agree. They want surrender. And I've been saying they want conformity. You conform with their agenda or else. And listen, you're a union guy. The other fellow was a union guy. Another union guy called you guys. You're in middle-aged men. And they act like you just start working at a solar plant. Now, how stupid is that?
Well, I'll tell you, I work in the airline industry. And right now, everybody's super excited because with the stimulus and everything like that, they're recalling a bunch of jobs back and everything like that. But I can tell you right now, if the Green New Deal comes through, every job in the airline industry is dead.
Mm-hmm. That is a very important point. And not only that, if they drive up the cost of petroleum, what do they think is going to happen with the airlines?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And even worse, we're going to have shortages one day, maybe not immediately, but at some point you affect production. You affect production, you affect supply. The demand doesn't change, it might even increase, and then what do you get? You get shortages, you get prices skyrocketing, and the airlines, almost more than any other industry, are the most volatile when it comes to economic shifts. And so if the airlines are going to rely on just relief bill after relief bill after relief bill, they're not going to survive.
No. Absolutely not. I'm hoping that with, now that Biden's in there, maybe they're going to ease up a little bit on the COVID which will help get people out flying again and increase us out here. But, you know, that's not guaranteed. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to use your business, an airline, in a few days, and I've been using them. And by the way, they've been fantastic. They're extremely clean. They're even sterile. The flight attendants have been terrific. The pilots, co-pilots are terrific. I'm very, very impressed with what the airlines have been able to do while they're bleeding money. All right, yeah. David. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. All right. Shall we continue? Wardorf, Maryland, XM Satellite. There's no escaping Maryland. You have Republicans who are Democrats and Democrats who are Democrats. Just the way it is, John. Go right ahead, my friend.
It's an honor to speak with you, Mr. Levin.
Thank you.
I really wanted to talk about Donald Trump and the true diversity that he brought to the country, because I was one of those guys with the wool pulled over my eyes, just living day by day. I was a victim of Big Pharma, you know, just without being awake and into politics whatsoever. So if the taxes went up, whatever, I was just dishing it out of my pocket. But when Trump came into office and started bringing things to light that truly needed to be brought to light for people like me to wake up, I mean, I don't agree with it much. When the second grader was saying that he hated Trump, but that truly shows how deep and how far Donald J. Trump went through the country. I mean, he made me a true patriot.
And John, let's be clear about something. The man got almost 75 million votes. That is far more than any Republican ever running for president, including the Bushes most recently, way more than Romney, way more than McCain. And this is why they hate him. But by hating him and trying to destroy him, they're picking a fight with us, aren't they, John?
That is extremely right, and I'm sorry, but the sleeping giant has awoken.
I'm with you, and they ain't putting us any. They're not putting us to bed. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest-growing organizations in America. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
All right. Trying to see what site this is to give them credit, but I can't find it right now. But anyway, they know who they are, American News. In 2019, the Washington Post published an article detailing then-presidential candidate Kamala Harris's relationship with her sister in a biographical piece. The beginning of the piece was unflattering, however, detailing a conversation between Harris and her sister, where Harris compares the being on the campaign trail to a prisoner begging for a sip of water. Concept which she cackled at, a.k.a. laughed. Now Reason reports that the biographical piece has been edited to include a new anecdote, one that does not reflect so well on the vice president. In the original version of the story, Kamala Harris is said to have laughed like an old British man locked in a Dixonian jail cell as she imitated a prisoner begging for, well, here's what happened. The Washington Post silently edited that. In a piece it did on Harris the other day. And then it was called out, and it silently then added back the laughing at the prisoners. So the Post edits Kamala Harris's profile to remove the joke mocking prisoners. Then they are caught, and then they put it back. That's how corrupt the media are today. Every Friday, in your honor, we play America. And this Friday is no different. And by the way, don't forget this Sunday, one-on-one with Newt Gingrich on Life, Liberty, and Levin, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't watch it live, please DVR it. It is a very, very important show. Friends, don't forget Life, Liberty, and Levin on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Tell your friends, too. We don't use Twitter or Facebook anymore. Big show, Gingrich and me. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and emergency personnel. Good night, Spritey. Good night, Griffey. Good night, Pepsi and Smokey and Zelda and Gigi and my dear little Barney. And good night, Dad. Good night, Mom. And good night, Leo. We love and we miss you all. And folks, I love you too, and I'm blessed to have you out there. Stay strong. I'll see you on Sunday on my show, and I'll be back on Monday. Try and have a wonderful weekend, and God bless.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.